Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Saturday EMP. Before we begin, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for today, this morning, God. We're privileged to be able to come into your house today, Lord, just to pray, God, to worship you, Lord God, to hear your word, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. So, Lord, I just ask you, Lord God, to anoint my lips, Lord God. May I decrease, God, so that you increase, Lord God, that you may have all the glory. And Lord, you work through me, God, so that people, Lord, here listening, Lord, will all know your love, Lord God. So, Lord, I humble myself today, Lord, and I preach to myself first and foremost, God. This is a message for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hi, good morning. The message that I'd like to speak this morning is called Paying the Price. And the text that we're going to be reading today is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 25 to 33. So now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the costs, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who come against him with 20,000? Or else, whilst the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So good morning. Yes, I want to speak today on a difficult but relatively short message today. And I've always been challenged by this, and I feel that this is a message today insofar as much for myself as it is for other people listening in. And this topic has been born out of a place where I am at. In essence, I feel that I have reached a spiritual roadblock and plateau, and that I need to pay the price to move on to a greater anointing or to a greater level in Christ. This message was born out of a question or just a thought that I've been just thinking about. And this question was, you know, we honestly need to ask ourselves and examine. We've seen many people give testimonies that they've received XYZ prophecy. They receive it from an anointed speaker, so and so. And they've also received maybe visions from God to start some God-given ministry. And these are all great things. But then the question that we need to ask ourselves then is, how many of these prophecies have actually come to pass? And how many of these truly God-given visions have also been fulfilled? And I would say, yes, indeed, there have been many prophecies and visions that have been fulfilled and reached the full maturation and its destiny. But then there are also many that have not. And now, assuming that these are truly God-given, we have to ask ourselves, why not? And the answer which I've come to realize is that people have not paid the price or are unwilling to pay the price. You see, sometimes in charismatic circles, we have this misconception that we get some anointed preacher to lay hands on us or to pray for us, and we ask for this special impartation, or we go up to the altar to ask for a special touch from God, or we seek a prophecy from some anointed person. Just witness the queues forming during the Rob Lee anniversary weekend. And we think that when we receive that, voila, our life changes in an instant. And believe me, I do not think that there is anything necessarily wrong if we have a balanced approach to that. And the Bible is very clear that the laying on of hands is very important for the commissioning of people and for impartation of spiritual gifts. And prophecies are good for the edification and building up of the body. And that a touch from God can bring a time of refreshing. And all these things can spur us on to greater heights in Christ. And these are all good and necessary. But let us not mistake these things as some sort of spiritual microwave where we get what we want on demand and in an instant. And when we think that when we have received those things, it is the end, we have arrived, and we have made it. No, indeed it's not. It is just the beginning. And if you read the Old Testament and understand the leading of God, of the children of Israel through the wilderness, you'll realize that they come to this place called Mount Sinai, which is a symbol of us today, of the Holy Spirit experience that we have in our life. But what does God do? Does God call them to stay forever on Mount Sinai? No, after that experience, He does not tell them to stay camped there forever. He says to go down on Mount Sinai, move on, and move on to your promised land, which is your destiny. So coming back to topic, we need to be circumspect, I think. We need to think. We were back from retreat not so long ago. And a lot of us were touched by the ministry of all the great speakers, the guest speakers that we had there. Many of us even received a prophecy. But now that we are back to reality, what has changed? And how many prophecies have we received in our life but have remained unfulfilled? So I have two simple points today which I just want to share, which is mainly point one, dying to self, and point two, dying to the dream. So point one, dying to self. If you want God's plan for your life to be fulfilled, the only way to do that, in my opinion, is for you to die to yourself. We've just read this morning that Jesus says that whoever does not hate their life and carry their own cross is not worthy to be his disciple. Strong words there. But that is what he says. And now if you think about it, Jesus says that there is no servant that is greater than his master. And if Jesus went to the cross, he also tells us that we need to carry our own cross. Now we need to understand this. We need to step back a little bit to understand this whole grand plan for humanity. We know that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, it talks about Jesus being the Lamb of God, whose precious blood. He was a lamb without blemish or defect, and he was chosen before the creation of the world. Revelation 13 talks about Jesus was the Lamb slain at the foundation of the earth. And so somehow though, in eternity past, God decided that the plan of salvation for mankind, the plan to defeat all the schemes of the enemy, was through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to shed his blood on the cross for the remission of our sins. And the plan of God for salvation was not some afterthought after the creation of man, after the fall of man. It was not God's plan B, his contingency plan where he was caught by surprise. No, it's plan A. And Colossians 2:15, the NIV version says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, the cross was the consummation of Jesus' life work, his mission. And having been obedient to death, even death on the cross, Philippians chapter 2, Hebrews 10 says that after he offered himself a sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. So mission accomplished. And we see that there is power in the cross, and the cross was the culmination of the mission, the fulfillment of the grand plan etched in eternity past. But guess what? The way of the cross meant death. It meant Jesus Christ dying. It meant Jesus Christ giving up his life. And so somehow in eternity past, God chose the way of death to bring about his plan for salvation. If you think about it, he could have chosen another way, perhaps. Like maybe just keeping it to the path of the second coming of Christ. Jesus just coming down with his army of angels, wiping out all the forces of evil, and bringing the church back to heaven. Or how about maybe just even saying the word, binding up and destroying Satan forever? He could do that. It seems like maybe there was an easier way. And God is sovereign. He can do what he wills. But God chose the way of death, for Christ to die, to fulfill and to bring about the mission. And why is that? I don't know. And it's not important to know why, I guess, for our purposes. But if Christ says that there is no disciple that is greater than his master, and that we need to carry our own cross, let me suggest something, that maybe the plans and promises the mission that has that God has given us, right, through the many visions, prophecies, dreams, through Him speaking to us, can only then be fulfilled one way, like how Christ did it. And that could only be accomplished through the path of death. And then and God is asking, are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pay the price of death? Because without it, I'm afraid that the many prophecies, plans for our life will remain just that, unaccomplished, unfulfilled. Nothing will change. You see, at retreat, I see so many people go up for altar call, and that is great. But I also wonder and observe how many people who went up after receiving the word, after receiving the prophecy, will be willing to pay the price, willing to die to self, to bring about God's plan for them in their life. It is interesting to examine the second part of our scripture reading this morning in Luke. Jesus talks about planning, about counting the cost, making sure that you are willing and able to pay the price before you embark on some big project. You know, we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Wow. But Jesus says, you want to follow me? You better forsake all. See, in the church, I've seen many things come up, go away. Leaders rise up, leaders fall. Ministries rise up, ministries go away. Like some house churches come up, and then they close down. And now some of these people have legitimate reasons for doing so. Maybe God has told them to step down, to take a break, or it's the end of the season of house church in that regard. And I'm not judging anyone here. I'm just making an observation. As you can see, I like to observe things. But sometimes I just feel that leaders have stepped up in the spur of the moment. Actually, maybe they've even prayed about it. This was a true vision and this was a true calling of God. But they have not counted the costs as to what it would take to run a house church or to run a ministry. And when the going gets tough, they are unwilling to pay the price. Again, I've seen people float in and out of ministries. And there are legitimate reasons that people do so. But again, many times, it's maybe just like what we read in Luke. Before they try and build the tower, they forgot to understand and to calculate what is needed to accomplish that task. So, but maybe I feel that we're in a radical middle moment here. We are, on one hand, we are to obey the voice of God quickly and to say yes to whatever God tells us. But yet, on the other hand, we need to be diligent and to count the costs and the price. So that's a pretty tough one, actually. But then again, so why do ministry fail? Why do visions fail? So may I suggest to you that maybe it's because people have not counted the costs before embarking on the project and it withers away. People are not willing to die to self to fulfill the vision, the God-given vision that is placed in their life. So actually, come to think about it, the only solution here really is dying to yourself. Because when you do, you are willing to actually pay the ultimate price. And any price that God calls you to accomplish every purpose of God in your life. And here is where I have to admit, right? And here is where I actually am struggling, and please pray for me. Because I feel God is telling me, if you want to grow in anointing, you want greater power, you want a fulfillment of the prophecies and the visions of God in my life, personally, that I need to pay the price. Like, am I willing to give up alcohol? Am I willing to give up watching TV, internet, Netflix at night? Am I willing to sacrifice finances, possibly, to follow Him? So I feel that I'm at this wall, at this plateau, and for me, I'm struggling so hard to lay so much down, to crucify, to pay the price in so many areas of my life. But brothers and sisters, everyone who wants to move on with God will come to this point. I guarantee it. There will be a fork in the road that you will meet in your life one day. And you can take the left road of stagnation. And you may even seem successful and accomplished, but you are not. Or you could take the right road, which leads the road of death in a good way, the death of self and accomplishment of God's purposes in our life. So yes, this is where I admit that where I'm struggling. And this is why I hope everyone takes this message as a frank admission, discussion. And maybe this message spurs us on to think. I've spoken primarily on the first point about dying to self, paying the price of death. Next, I would like to briefly speak on the second point, which is dying to the vision, dying to the word, dying to the prophecy. And this is the case where maybe the God-given vision, word, prophecy becomes an obsession, or you are going about achieving it the wrong way. And sometimes God just wants to kill it before raising it up again in new power. I won't go too much detail to this point, but I'd just like to briefly mention a few people in the Bible. Abraham, famous story of God asking him to give up Isaac, sacrifice him on the altar. It required a death to all the promises of God in his life, to all that God had promised him. And God wanted to kill the dream in Abraham before raising it up again. But thank God that Abraham was sufficiently mature in his faith that he was willing to let go of his son, knowing that God can raise him up again from the dead. And after that episode, you know, God brought Abraham to an even higher level in God. And that is why Abraham is known today as the father of our faith. Or what about Joseph? If we examine the life of Joseph, he received the great dreams, visions, and dreams of greatness that people are going to bow down to him. But then when he was about 17, 18, he got sold into Egypt as a slave. Rose up, and then after that, though, got thrown into jail, into Egyptian jail, where the Bible says in Psalms 105, until the time of his word that came to pass, the word of God tested him. See, he had to die to all these God-given dreams until the appointed time where God elevated him suddenly, second in command in Egypt, to fulfill all the promises and destinies of his life. And then we can briefly talk about David. He received the anointing, I think at 17. Samuel anointed him to be king over Israel. Chased into the wilderness for a long time. And only became king of Judah, not even the United Kingdom, I think at 28. And only became the king of the United Kingdom, I think, I can't remember, but sometime later. He had to die to the dream for a long time. And Moses, another interesting one. Sometimes we read about Moses and the burning bush experience. We feel that Moses was a timid man who did not know what to say or what to do. If you read the burning bush experience, Lord, I can't speak, said Aaron. But many of us do not realize in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 22, it says that actually Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. So Moses was a guy that went to the Harvard of his day and received the finest education that money could buy in his time. And he was a powerful man in word and action. And may I suggest to you that Moses knew his calling as a savior of the Israelites, even when he was a prince of Egypt. We read this in Hebrews 11 when it says that when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But you see, Moses was going about it the wrong way, in his own perceived way. And we know the story that he slayed the Egyptian in his anger, thinking that he was going to be, you know, delivering his fellow Israelites that way. But then, he was then chased as a fugitive, as an exile into the wilderness for such a long time. And God did such a work in his life, stripped so much away until the burning bush experience that even Moses seemingly forgot that he was the one that was meant to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And it was in the moments of Moses' weakness, his hesitancy, his fear, his timidity, where he just somehow just said, Lord, I can't do it, you know, send someone else. That God says, now you are ready to be the deliverer of my beloved people, Israel. Such an interesting story. And by God's grace, I'd like to elaborate and share a bigger message, a longer message on this one day. But what is the point of all these examples? All these characters, all these pillars of faith, at some point in their life, had to die to the God-given vision or promise in their life. And I'm telling you, sometimes in our life, this is what will happen to us. If God has given us a dream, He's given us a promise, He's given us a vision, He's given us a ministry or something in our life, God wants to lay it, or wants us to lay it all down, and maybe to even kill it, seemingly, for a season. And why does God want to do that? I think it's primarily because He wants to keep people humble, to let them know that everything that they have is from Him, and they can only accomplish this purpose through His power and through His grace and His mercy alone. And again, relating to point number one, you first need to die to yourself to pay the price, to strip out every human way of doing things and rely on God's way. As R.T. Kendall always says, that the best advice he has ever gotten was, God will prevent a man from succeeding when he is not ready. Think about that. And a point of that, a part of getting ready, is paying the price of death to self. It is a sad sight when we see young charismatic leaders, young leaders, you know, build up great ministries, great following, great crowds, and then at some stage they crash and they burn. In some ways, maybe it was because they were not ready to handle the God-given vision in their lives, but they pushed ahead anyway. Or maybe at some point in time, God told them to die to themselves, but they chose not to do so. But by the grace of God, maybe through this time, after they crashed and burned like Moses, when God spirits them away from the public limelight, they would repent and be like Moses and come back even stronger. And more importantly, fulfill the God-given vision and destiny, God's way. Undoubtedly, though, through that path of refining, it's painful. It comes only through the way of death. A death to everything we ever know. A death to our way of doing things. A death to our will. You know, in one of Pastor Benjamin's sermons that I was listening to recently, he makes a good point. He says that we need to lay everything and to cast everything unto Jesus. Not only our cares and burdens, as the Bible says, right? We cast our cares upon the Lord. He cares for us. But not only our cares and burdens, which is all the bad stuff in our life, but also the good things like our crowns we cast before God, like we see in Revelations, the elders casting crowns. And why? Because we do not know at every point in our life what are our burdens and what are our crowns. You see, sometimes what we think is a burden could actually be a crown from God. And what is a crown, we think is a crown, could actually be a spiritual burden. But so that's why we cast everything at the feet of Jesus and lay it at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus picks it up. He keeps the burdens to himself and gives us back our crowns again, which we can cast in future. Wow. So in closing, it is my prayer that this message, and that those hearing this today, do not take this as a message of condemnation, but instead take it as a relatively straightforward message, a thought-provoking message, a message from Christ to spur us on, a clarion call to move on and to maybe examine ourselves. So I feel that many of us listening, including myself, are at a plateau in our spiritual life, or are perhaps wondering why God-given visions, dreams and prophecies are not fulfilled. And maybe some of us here have not even thought about the way of death. It just never occurred to us that God chose the way of death for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was his way of accomplishing the ultimate purpose, the ultimate plan of salvation for mankind. And Jesus is also calling us into his footsteps. So I'll just invite Ernie up to lead us in a song. And during this time, let us just worship God and let us pray and ask Holy Spirit to convict us.
Lord, sweep it all. to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. And forever I sing, forever I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. My broken song to you, the perfect one, to worship you, Spirit and truth, only you. Give me a time. Lead me to where you are. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, yes, God, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you, Lord. And forever I sing, forever I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you, how I love you, how I love you, Lord, how I love you, God, my first love, how I love you, how I love you, my God, how I love you, my first love, how I love you, how I love you, my God, how I love you, my first love, how I love you, how I love you, how I love you, my first love. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you, how I love you.
Let's turn to this morning's EMP list. Let's pray for members of our community who are suffering from cancer, people who are undergoing cancer, chemo, radiation, therapy, and surgery. Let us pray. Pray for members of our community who are sick but importantly need salvation. Let us pray. Pray for members of our community who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray. Pray for members of our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray. Let's pray for Saturday's mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea, open doors for ministry. Pray for missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia. And let's pray also for the persecuted church and in the Middle East as well. Let us pray. Thank you. pray for the various SP weekend gatherings. We just pray that they'll be Holy Spirit led and that Jesus be glorified. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time, this morning, God, where again we can just come into your presence, Lord God, to just, Lord, sit with you, Lord God, just come simply, Lord God, to worship you, Lord God. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, in our lives, God, that you continue to convict us, God, on the need, Lord, to die to ourselves, Lord God, to die to our, you know, God-given visions, Lord, and prophecies and whatnot, Lord God. The Lord, that as we, you know, die, Lord, that you will raise it up, Lord God, in resurrection power. And we also, Lord, just lift up our, the various prayers, Lord, that we have prayed for our brothers and sisters, Lord, in this house, God. We just pray, Lord, you also will bring comfort, Lord God, I pray, and bring extra faith, Lord God, to our brothers and sisters, Lord, who are going through hardship, Lord, various sicknesses, Lord God, or loss of job, Lord, during this time. So, Lord Jesus, we just ask, Lord, you take our prayers, Lord, may you just rise up a sweet incense, God, to your throne, Lord God, that you will answer them, Lord God, in your timing, Lord. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for today and for what you are doing in our lives and in this church, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.